Jesus Christ came into the world to demonstrate the Father's love for sinners. He did this by dying on the cross for sin and rising again to save all who would place their faith in his finished work. His mission complete, Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, but not before commissioning his ragtag band of followers to go and change the world in his name. Jesus promised to send them a helper, the Holy Spirit, who would empower them to be faithful, fruitful, courageous witnesses for him. The gospel was preached, the sick were healed, multitudes were saved, churches were planted, and nations were impacted. Today, the mission still rolls on. Are you ready to be part of God's master plan to take the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth?
We want our church family to be a family. We want our kids to recognize that there's not really a gap between what happens down here and what happens upstairs. It's all part of what Hill City Church is. We want you guys to be excited as much as we are about the things of God. And we also want our junior school age kids to have some kind of an idea what goes on down here on a Sunday morning. So when they hit high school age, they don't all of a sudden get into this world of like adult services and they don't know what the dickens is going on. So we're trying to bridge the gap a little bit this morning. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our Bibles out. If you haven't got a Bible, that's fine. There should be a basket at the back or an app on your phone if you're tech savvy. And we're going to just get excited about a bit of the Bible. We're going to get excited about it together. Now the plan, the best laid plans of mice and men, I agree, but the plan is supposed to be a really short message, but with you guys all getting to play a part. You children, I want you to be part of this. I want you to sit with your mums and dads and for them to help you to find verses in the Bible so you can come and share them with me, so I can share them with everyone else. But you adults as well, if you find the verse and you think, well, I want to share that one, well, you can come and share it too. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back just outside of the book of Acts. Now, the kids upstairs have been learning from the book of Acts. Has it been fun so far, you guys who are kids? Has it been fun upstairs in Sunday school? Yeah, Benjamin gave me the thumbs up. Yes, mate, it's been good. I've been privileged to be part of teaching that, as have many of our Sunday school teachers. By the way, you guys who are down here regularly on a Sunday, please be grateful and pray for your Sunday school teachers and the creche workers. They're awesome people. And it's great that they're doing that for our kids week in, week out. But here's where I want to start. On, I think it was Friday, my kids came home. I'd been out doing something, probably in a coffee shop involving a Bible. And Michelle had been out with the kids. And the kids came home all excited, saying, Dad, Dad, we finished our library challenge and we got a DVD. Now, what was a DVD, Joe? Despicable Me 2. No. That sounds great. That sounds exciting. Despicable Me 2. But here's the problem. We hadn't seen Despicable Me 1. At least me and Michelle hadn't. Some of the kids have seen bits and bobs in school. So here's the problem. How can you get excited about Despicable Me 2 when you haven't seen Despicable Me 1? So I had a text message from Michelle. Go to Asda's and buy Despicable Me 1 if it's less than a fiver. Hallelujah. Her man delivered. And I found Despicable Me 1 for bang on a fiver. 1 pence more and it would have been contraband. But we got there. Hallelujah. So we watched Despicable Me 1, and it's fantastic. Why am I starting this little talking about Despicable Me? Well, here's the thing. Despicable Me 2 is, I'm sure, a great film. I intend watching it tonight when the kids are in bed. true story. But it's probably going to make a lot more sense when me and Michelle catch up for our romantic Sunday night film night with Despicable Me 2 because we watched Despicable Me 1. It'll make sense of the second bit. Does that make sense to you all? It's the same with all sorts of films. People that watch Lord of the Rings and never knew what a hobbit was before, and like all of a sudden, blanks are being filled in, aren't they, by like Peter Jackson's new films about the Hobbit, because that comes before. Anyway, I digress, and I don't want to go down the path of films too much. Why do we need to watch Despicable Me 2 in order to watch Despicable Me 1? It gives context to Despicable Me 2 and will make more sense of it. I want to share one little passage in the Bible that will help to make sense of the book of Acts. Because we're going to visit Jesus at the very, very end of Luke's gospel, saying his last words to his disciples before going back to heaven. And then the book of Acts rolls on. And we're going to see if there's stuff in what Jesus said, in part one, if you like, that's going to make sense of what we've been learning in the book of Acts, part two. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, can any of you clever children answer me this question? How did Jesus die? Not why, how? Jacob? On a cross. Good job. Right, pay rise for the Sunday school teachers. That's good. Okay. Who can tell me, anyone, what happened 3 days after Jesus rose? So after he died. Who can tell me what happened 3 days after Jesus died on the cross? He rose again. Hallelujah. And I love the fact that Josh had that with some victory. And yes, he rose again. Amen. Let's go sit with Mammy sec, fella, okay? So Jesus died and Jesus rose. That is one of the most unbelievable things that's ever happened in this world. And I use the word unbelievable on purpose because a lot of people don't believe it. They didn't believe it then and they don't believe it now. So Jesus, being kind, he turned up to show his disciples, it's me, it's real, it's true, and to give them some instructions. So in Luke chapter 24, we get those instructions. So I'm going to read a bit of the passage to you. Ezra, love, not on the stage, fella, okay? We're going to read it from verse 36, and then we'll get to the bit we're going to focus on in verse 46. So I'm going to read it to you, okay? As the disciples were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, what did he say to them, guys? Peace to you. That's a great thing to say to someone who's freaked out. Okay? They've just seen the Lord who was dead and who rose again. Peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. Now, you clever children, why do you think he showed them his hands and his feet? Why was that significant? Yes, the nail prints. Well done. To prove that he was the real deal. He had died on the cross. Well done, Josh. So, he showed them his hands and his feet. And he said, touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, I love this. This is why I think... this is one of the things I love about the humanity of Jesus. He said, have you got anything to eat? It's like he goes to his mate's house. You got any Pringles, bro? Like, have you got, like, what's in the cupboards? Beans on toast? Anything. Jesus was hungry. That's how alive he was. Now, do spirits have appetites? No. But Jesus was so alive, he was like, someone gave me a hot dog or something. Like, anyone got anything? Fish, bread, anything? Brilliant. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. I don't know if you'd feel ripped off if you went to your mate's house and you said, have you got anything to eat? He goes, have some broiled fish, mate. I'd be a little bit let down, but Jesus doesn't hold grudges. And he took it and gratefully ate it before them. Now then, Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, what was it? What was the chorus title of the song we just sang? The first line of it. Open the eyes of my heart. Now look at what Jesus did. It says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So all of a sudden, it's like he pressed a button, activate, and they started to understand who Jesus is. And guys, we want all of you, from the youngest, little baby Joshua, all the way to the oldest, I'm not going to go there, and everyone in between, to know who Jesus is. We want you to understand the beauty and the truth of the gospel. And then Jesus gives them a message, which was their job to go and take into the world, which is what the book of Acts is all about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to see what Jesus told them, and then see if in the book of Acts, these disciples started to see what God had said happening in their lives. Are you ready for this? So, he said this to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So, we are going to look at three different things and see if it's happening in the book of Acts. And if it's happening in the book of Acts, wow, it could be happening in our times too. So the first thing that Jesus gives them is he gives them a message. And the message was, can any of you guys with your Bibles open, find the message which is in verse 46 and 47.
Daddy!
You got it, Megs? Your daddy's got it, has he? I'm sure he has. I haven't got Luke. Oh. Yes, Benjamin? Yes, good. Thank you for finding that so well. The message was that the Christ must suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. Now then, did the disciples do that in the book of Acts? That's the question, isn't it? That was the job, simple job. Go and tell people that Jesus died, rose again, and they need to repent and know and get forgiven. So here's my challenge for some of you Bible hunters. Are you ready for the challenge? Go and find Acts chapter 2, and starting at verse 22, see if there's any evidence that his guys, his boys, his disciples got this right. Is there any evidence, guys, that the disciples got it right? Yeah? Jen, have you found it? Peter. All right, so can somebody read me in Peter's sermon just those few verses in verse 22, what Peter said? Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Brilliant. So, it was a simple message. Guys, and this is the same message that we have today. Jesus died and rose. That's the message of the church. That's the message that Jesus gave. And well done, disciples. They got that right. If you have a message that doesn't involve the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we're not being faithful to the message that he's given us to share with the world. Our good news is that Jesus died and he didn't stay dead. Amen? Okay. Now then, I got another thing that Jesus said, though. He said that was the first part of his message, but the second part was that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Now then, any of you, let's, Jacob, come here, fella. I need you to help me with an illustration. I'm sure I want to do this. Because he'd be so keen to be involved. Now, you all know what repentance is, but me and Jake are going to give you an illustration of repentance. It's a big word with a simple meaning, okay? Now then, how can we demonstrate this? Let me think. This radiator is the wrong way. This is the end of the wrong path. See this radiator? Don't go near the radiator, okay? So, the Bible says there's a certain way that we should live and a certain way that we shouldn't live. The wrong way is the path of sin, and all of us have this inbuilt capacity to walk towards what's wrong. So, Jacob's going to slowly walk towards what is wrong. So start walking towards a radiator. Stop! Now then, he needs to do what? He needs to turn around, face this way, and he's got to come this way. Okay, so come on. Stop! Good. Now, that's partly what repentance is. A lot of people think repentance is just turning. But here's the thing, guys, and this is the key to understanding repentance. It's not just not doing what's wrong. Repentance is turning to the God who is good and who loves and forgives. So at this end, we've got the blessed organ. Okay, by here. So this is what Jacob, this is like where blessing comes. This is actually, I'm going to stop there. All right. This is all off the cuff, as you can see. I'm not going to go back to the blessed organ. I'm going to leave it alone. Okay. All right. So, what's that? Yeah, chocolate's on top as well. We're going to stop there. I can see where it's going. It's not good enough. Guys, we are not a church that says to people, stop doing bad things. That's not the gospel. Okay? The gospel is turn to the God who loves you. And How do we know he loves us? Well, we just read it. He died for us and he rose again. So the message of repentance isn't stop being naughty. It's possible to stop doing bad things and still not know God. So here's what we're going to do. Jim, come here, bro. This is how we'll get it sorted. Now, Jacob's here, fella, good man. Now, this is Jacob's father, okay? And Jacob's father is by here, his real father as well. This works. Jake, come here, son. Now then, you need to go towards the radiator, and then when your dad says stop, come back to me, you're going to come back and give him a hug.
Stop. Come back to me.
And give him a hug. That's repentance, guys. It's not stop doing what's wrong. It's come back to the Father who loves you. Because where the Father is so much more blessing and so much more love and so much more forgiveness and peace and joy and hope than anything that the world can offer you. That's the gospel. That's the message. So, the message is, Jesus died, Jesus rose, turn back and experience his forgiveness. But here's the question. Did the disciples preach that bit as well? Let's have a look in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And somebody with a big loud voice, when you found it, let's find out together if they got that bit of the message right as well. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Sherry, thank you. Amen. Now that should be everyone's favorite verse at least a couple of times in their life. Let me read it again. This is awesome. This is what repentance is. It's not stop doing naughty things. This is what repentance is. Repent, therefore, and turn back, like Jacob just did. Turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, like as in made to disappear forever. And that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you need that refreshing? Well, we get refreshing by repenting. By believing the message and turning from sin to Jesus. That's where it comes from. Brilliant. So that's the message. So the apostles got that right, didn't they? Have you guys upstairs in Sunday school, Ellen, have you guys been learning about that upstairs? The cross and the resurrection? Yeah? Good. Right. Second thing. He gave them a mission as well. And he tells them what that mission is going to look like. So, in Luke 24, he says that this message is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now then, can anybody go back to Acts chapter 8 and see, have I got a young person who will come at the front and read just these few verses to us? Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Okay, Benjamin, mate, crack on, son. He's doing the mission for us today. Thank you. All right, let me get your microphone, mate. Hang on. This is really important, guys, that we get these kids involved in this stuff. Right there.
What do you want me to read?
I want you to read this bit here.
Okay. On the day pressure net broke...
A great persecution.
The great persecution.
Persecution.
Broke out against the church in Jerusalem and for Judah and Samaria, godly men brought Samaria, Stephen, and made a place for him. But Saul began to destroy the
church.
The church.
Okay, thank you. That's great, Benjamin. Thank you, mate. So what he just read to us is that the persecution broke out, okay? But then we find out that Saul was going from house to house, persecuting people, sharing the message of God's love. But listen to this. So where did this happen? Adults, where did this happen? Jerusalem. Okay. Now then. Verse 4 says this. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And Philip went out to the city of Samaria. So at this point, now have you guys in Sunday school learned about Stephen recently? Yeah, you learned about that, didn't you? Well, what happened to Stephen meant that the gospel message didn't just stay in one place, but they had to run all different places. And they told everyone in other parts of the world about it. And we found out as well, didn't we, guys, that last week in our church service, and the kids will find out next week, that it went all the way to the Ethiopian eunuch. So Africa was going to hear the good news. So this was happening, guys. Isn't this amazing? Jesus said, this has got to happen. And in his grace, even despite difficult times, it happened. Finally, the means. He said there's a message. He said there's a mission. Now we find out the means. And the means was, again, back in Luke chapter 24. Can one of you adults, in a big loud voice, go back to Luke 24 and read out verses 48 and 49? Great. Guys, we need more than just the message of God. And we need more than just a map to know where we're meant to take that message. We need his power. And where does this power come from? Can any of you children, let me see if Josh or Hannah know this. The day of Pentecost, how did God give us his power? He sent the Holy Spirit. Well done, Josh. Exactly. He sent us the Holy Spirit so that we can do his work. I want to share with all of you as a church that we need the power of the Holy Spirit for everything that we do in our lives. We can't live for Jesus without his power. It's one thing to know the answers to the questions. It's great that the guys knew what the message was. It's great that they knew where to send the message. But do we really think that they could have taken that message to the far ends of the world, to Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth, if they hadn't had the power of the Holy Spirit? No. And so I want to just close this time. I appreciate the kids are getting tired and restless now. I just want to close this time by encouraging us as a church that so far, where we've got to in the book of Acts, has shown us that Jesus is keeping his promises to change the world through ordinary people. That there is a job for us to do here in this valley. There's a job for us to do here in our part of the world. But let's get the message right. Who can refresh memory? What is the message? Jesus died on the... And he... And people need to... And be forgiven. It's simple. That's the message. And is there any part of this earth where that message doesn't apply and where people don't need to hear it? No. So who do we need to pray would come and fill our lives to help us? Holy Spirit. And we saw that in the book of Acts. My plea with us as a church is that we wouldn't be content to read it in the pages of a book, but that we would actually see it in our day, in our lives. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing that song again, Tell the World That Jesus Lives, because that is the same message that Jesus gave his disciples in Luke 24. So shall we pray?